I heard a rumor that they're going to change the name of this temple to New Budrik Ashram. Devikanandan, is that true? Was no new Gokula Dham, right? Goloka Dham? New Goloka Dham is at least temporarily New Badrik Ashram Dham. People with their scarves and their hats and their winter coats and no boots, of course, but it's the temple room after all. No boots. Well, I'll try to make this class very short purposely because we want to maximize our time for chanting. Just quickly, a little refresh. Well, here's another question. Of the topics that we've discussed so far, how many accessed or resourced or applied some of the points that we discussed so far in this morning's chanting of japa? Very good. The special benefit, I mean, just coming together and chanting japa together is superlative. At the same time, progress, like the common question when we have gatherings that are inspirational and so forth, the common question is how do we carry forward with the inspiration that we're now experiencing because we all know what happens. So, to keep the inspiration going and to make progress in our chanting, which means progress in Krishna consciousness, progress to the goal of being with Krishna, application is essential. It's not, say it the opposite. If you don't want to advance in Krishna consciousness, don't apply these things. It's nice having, it was nice kirtan, right? That's nice, inspirational, and then you go home and business as usual. No. Those inspirational items, along with instructional pieces, are, you apply them. So, just a quick refresh. I personally benefited a lot. Of course, I did the presenting, but in this morning's japa, in terms of chanting without upadhis, how easy it is for the mind to go, and where does it go? According to our upadhis. Well, you know, it's service, but it's when you're chanting, you're not preparing yourself and processing how you're going to do your service, etc., 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 etc. It's too easy. This other is you're with Krishna. When you're with Krishna, you're with Krishna. You're not distracted. Then your service. A or B, which one will be better in terms of service? A, you plan out your service in detail while you're chanting japa so that when your service comes, you're well prepared to do your service because you planned it out while you were chanting japa. Or B, when you're chanting japa, you're absorbed in the shelter of the holy name with all the potencies of Krishna invested in each and every one of those holy names. And then you're, as they say these days, in the moment. And then you finish your chanting and now you're really focused on your service and for whom you're doing that service because you chanted your japa so attentively that morning. Which is going to be more effective, A or B? Really easy. really easy. So, chanting without upadis. Very nice message. Apply it. Remember it. We'll make these PowerPoints available. Certainly the recordings are available. You can go through it again, and that's how you take the message with you and continue. And because it's a process, gradual process of coming to be just anyabhilashatashunyam jnanakarmajnavritam, not no other interest. Anukalyena krishnanushilanam bhakti rutama. That's just one thing. Ananyas chintayanta mam yejana paryupasate. Like that. Then we heard many nice messages about humility, the humility of Lord Brahma. And based upon that mood of humility, Krishna helped him. Krishna will help us too. It can come in different ways. He can embrace us, he can smash us, he can trample us, he can do whatever he wants. Just getting Krishna's attention is wonderful. And feeling overwhelmed by the mercy of Krishna and relating properly to what's happening. This wonderful instruction in Lord Brahma's prayers. He's our the original acharya of our disciplic succession, chosen by Krishna to take that service. And as he will do with us, he did with Brahma from time to time, dust him off a little bit, straighten him up a little bit, invigorate him a little bit. The deep impression, something that particularly helped me this morning, was Lord Brahma's appreciation of the residents of Vrindavan and the unlimited good fortune that they have. Remember that discussion? Even a little of mercy from the Supreme Lord, then one can understand Krishna, what to speak of the mercy that's come to the residents of Vrindavan. And he just categorizes the mothers, the fathers, the boys, the gopis, and all the residents of Vrindavan there in Krishna's constant association, intimately dealing with him. And he likes being with them. And they like being with him. It's the land of love. Aspiring to go there is a great impetus for chanting with attention. Then these nice songs of Bhakti Vinod Thakur expressing humility to access the holy name without distraction. So if you get distracted in the course of the day, access humility. Remember some of these messages of our Acharya Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Lord Brahma with their expressions of themselves. It will help you access the holy name. So now, this morning, I'll try to go quickly. It's interesting, we're all facing here, but the screen is over there, so you have to turn about 45 degrees and look at the screen, because the topic, no, feeling complete with the holy name. Who is this? Haridas Namacharya. You know Haridas Thakur? In your blue sweatshirt. There's a little boy here. You know who is Haridas Thakur? Namacharya? What does that mean, Namacharya? Don't know? You know what Acharya means? Prabhupada is our founder Acharya. What does Acharya mean? He teaches by example. And he's the Nama Acharya. He taught by example how to enter into the holy name, Haridas Thakur. And what's that behind him, the same boy? Do you recognize what's behind him? There's Haridas. What's behind him over here? Do you know? What is it? Because a good part of his life, while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, Haridas wanted to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he went to Jagannath Puri. Very humble. So humble, not only he didn't want to enter the temple because he didn't feel himself fit and qualified to enter the temple, he didn't even want to be by the entryway of the temple because Brahman against him, because it's crowded, and then they become contaminated just by touching him. So he kept some distance. That was where he stayed. Some distance. May both of you boys one day visit Jagannath Puri. Krishna may bless you. You visit Jagannath Puri. And when you go to Jagannath Puri, if you ask people, where is the place of Haridas Thakur, they won't know. But if you ask them, where is Siddha Bakul, they'll know. Because he chanted underneath a Bakul tree. Bakul is a type of tree. Like here we have oak and elm and willow and, you know, different. There is a Bakul tree. It is a very special tree called Siddha Bakul because, can we fix the sound? Siddha Bakul because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu created that tree from a toothbrush. Did you know that? Now we have different kinds of toothbrush than Jagannath. We have these plastic ones with plastic bristles. But in Jagannath Puri, one of the items that they offer, every morning is part of their procedure of the morning worship. They wake up Jagannath and they offer him a toothbrush. But the toothbrush is like a twig, a little branch of a young green Bakul tree branch. They make it soft on this end and soft on that end. They hand it to Jagannath or offer it to Jagannath for brushing his teeth. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received the paraphernalia, now sanctified. It's called tadiya, toothbrush tadiya. And when he went to visit Haridas Thakur, where he was chanting, it was very hot. Summer in Puri gets really hot. And there was Haridas sitting in the blazing sun, chanting peacefully. So then Chaitanya took the toothbrush, stuck it in the ground, and boop, there was a Bakul tree. With Bakul trees have big leaves. They give lots of shade. So Haridas Thakur could sit underneath a shaded Bakul tree. So everyone started calling that Bakul tree a Siddha Bakul. Siddha means like perfect. Perfection. Siddha. Siddha Bakul. So that's where he chanted. So we're discussing feeling complete with chanting of the holy name. This is a painting of Jiva Goswami. Some of you were with us during the Thanksgiving holiday. We had a discussion on Tattva Sandarbha. In his Tattva Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami quotes this very wonderful verse. I'd like to recite it. Whoops. From Skanda Purana. He writes as follows. The name of Sri Krishna is the perfect fruit of the creeper of the entire Vedic Shruti. As stated in Skanda Purana, oh, best of the Bhrigu dynasty, the holy name of Krishna is the sweetest of the sweet, the most auspicious of the auspicious. It is the transcendental fruit of all the Vedas, and is purely spiritual. Whoever chants it, but once, whether with faith or neglectfully, is liberated. Even the language of this verse reminds me of there's a series of wonderful verses, Kevalastakam, 8 verses describing the holy name. It's very similar. The sweetest of the sweet, the most auspicious of all auspicious things, Harir Nam Eva Kevalam. Specifically, the Vedas have stages. There's the beginning part of the Vedas is Karmakanda, and Karmakanda is meant to elevate and gradually, through elevation into the mode of goodness, bring about knowledge, and with knowledge, detachment. And then the Gyanakanda section of the Vedas, which is a big part of that, is the Upanishads, or it says here the Vedic Shruti. And the Vedic Shruti has a ripened fruit. What's that? Sri Krishna. The name, Sri Krishna. So when we're chanting today, and of course every day, it's the ripened fruit of all the Vedas. Purely spiritual, the most auspicious of all auspiciousness. Even chanting once, don't just chant once, but even chanting once, whether with faith or neglectfully, is liberated. Then another, one more, very nice verse by Rupa Goswami, shown here at Terkadamba, composing Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami also wrote 8 verses in glorification of the holy name. This is number 1, the translation. O Hari Nama, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishad, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. Isn't that nice poetry? You are eternally adored by liberated souls such as Narada and Shukadeva. Oh, Hari Nam, I take complete shelter of you. Indicating that the holy name is a person who has toes. He has a form. The form of the holy name has toes. And the tip of the toes of the holy name are constantly being worshipped by the glowing, radiant effulgence emanating from the Upanishads. Not even the Upanishads can touch, just the radiance from the Upanishads. The tip of the toes. And that the holy name is adored by liberated souls means, it's indirectly saying, the holy name is beyond material touch. Because persons beyond material touch adore the holy name. They're not interested in anything material. A nice way of saying the holy name is fully spiritual. So we're immersing ourselves this morning in and today in that which is fully spiritual. We need a lot of immersion in fully spiritual stuff because we're very covered. But the holy name is the best way to do that. So I take complete shelter of you, O Hari Nam. So now here's an invitation to a meditation. This morning's discussion. What's that? We can experience completeness each day by taking the opportunity to connect with Krishna through his holy name with a small adjective, deeply, or adverb, deeply take shelter. The theme, you'll see this slide again at the end, this one. This is our meditation. The theme of this presentation comes from Ishopanishad, specifically the invocation mantra, which establishes the principle of completeness. Let us please chant together this verse, invocation mantra. Om Purnam Adak Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. And the word for word, can't read it so well because it's small, but I highlighted in yellow letters how many times? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Purnam is mentioned in the verse. Here's the translation. The personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. And because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are completely equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself, because he is the complete whole. Even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. One of these two boys disappeared already. I have another question for you. Are you ready? What's 1 minus 1? What's 1 minus 1? I'm asking this little boy here. 1 minus 1 equals 0. This verse is saying that in transcendence, oh, there's the other point. 1 minus 1 equals 1. That's bad math. You'll get an F in your exam if you give that answer. But in transcendence, if you say 1 minus 1 equals 0, you get an F. Because Krishna is that 1. And from that 1, so many 1s, so many complete units emanate from him, including this phenomenal world. The Sanskrit word is idam. We're going to see that again. Om Purnam Adak Purnam Idam. Such as this phenomenal world, idam. And each one of those complete units is complete in itself. And because the complete whole is complete, he's not reduced. Let's do this. You two boys, try to think of something so big. You take away something and it remains the same. How big is that? Well, there's nothing so big, materially speaking, so big. You take away even a little something and it remains the same. It's less. That's how big Krishna is. He's so big. You take away something and he's not reduced. Pretty amazing. That's how complete Krishna is. And that's how complete Krishna's name is, because Krishna's name and Krishna are the same. Now, moving along, this mantra, the invocation mantra, tells us that this world, idam, is already complete and perfect. Let's see how it works. There's the invocation mantra, and then it goes through mantra 3. The invocation mantra establishes the principle of completeness. Mantra 1 tells us how to practice that completeness. Mantra 2 explains the positive result of such practice, and mantra 3, the negative result of not practicing that way. So now there's different parts of this completeness. You ready for the different parts? There's 4. First is Krishna, the supreme absolute truth. Then there's idam, this phenomenal world. Then there's us, the living entities. And then there's this complete arrangement. That's the focus. Complete arrangement. So let's go through 1 through 4 first. First is Krishna, the absolute truth. There's a cover of First Canto Bhagavatam illustration. This absolute truth has different parts. There's a sat feature. That's this blue area in the impersonal aspect of Krishna. That's an aspect of Krishna, the spiritual sky. There's another, chit, potency, or aspect of Krishna, Paramatma, who represents or gives knowledge, and he reveals the form of Krishna. And then there's this Ananda portion, that Paramatma, and the Brahmajyoti, and there's a spiritual form. It's like Krishna's name has toes. He has spiritual form. The form of the Absolute Truth is complete. And then, number two, there's this phenomenal world. Who's that? You two boys? Does he have a first name? What's the first name? Mahavishnu? Mahavishnu. That's Mahavishnu. And all of these are universes that are emanating from the body of Mahavishnu. And in every one of those unlimited universes, there's another Vishnu. What's his first name? Starts with a G. You two boys? Starts with a G. Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And then that Garbhadakshay Vishnu, he expands himself within the heart of every living being, within every atom. What's his first name? Starts with a K. Shiradakshay Vishnu. Very good. They're brothers. The Vishnu brothers. So this phenomenal world that emanates from Garbhadakshay Vishnu, well, everything within it happens according to some reason or some sanction of the Supreme Lord. And we don't need any extra arrangement. It's already set up by the Supreme Lord for the maintenance of this universe. He does the maintenance and the subsistence. Everything is self-sustained by his arrangement. There's 24 elements. We don't have to go out to the Kmart and get some 24 elements. They're already there by the arrangement of Lord Vishnu. And then time energy is also needed to make the whole thing run. And time energy is under Krishna's direction also. It's his own Shakti, Kala Shakti. Okay, that's two that are complete. Then there's the living entity. These are different forms of different species of living entities. But every living entity is provided all facilities. Especially this is mantra number one, describes this. Everything that every living entity needs is provided for by the complete whole, and recognizing what the connection with this complete whole is gives that sense of completeness. So just like the example of the hand, which is part of the body, and the body. Prabhupada gave this really graphic example. When we have a hand and it's connected to the body, then it's complete. But supposing, don't do it. Supposing you cut off your hand and threw your hand out in the middle of the floor. Yuck. Who's interested in that? It's disgusting. And there's no utility for it either. It's not at all useful. But take that same hand and put it on the body, and then it's useful. The sense of completeness of the hand is when it's connected with the body. Right? Similarly, the living entity, when connected with the complete whole, we're complete. The function, everything that's meant for us is made possible by that connection with the complete whole. That's the completeness of the living entity. And then finally, and most important, is this complete arrangement. So there's many forms of life, but at least presently we're occupying this human form of life. And same for us, there's a complete arrangement for everything that we require. It's already there. We have to go out and make it happen. It's already there. And for us, that completeness is by the process of devotional service. It's quite simple. The process of devotional service isn't difficult. Our mind makes things difficult, but the process of devotional service isn't difficult. However, some people struggle. Do you know anybody that struggles? I know a couple of people. They struggle. And they struggle for the sense of completeness, but it's largely an illusory representation of completeness. Here's Prabhupada's words from the invocation mantra purport, where he writes, "We make efforts to utilize the resources of nature to create a so-called complete life of sense enjoyment." Illusory representation of completeness cannot satisfy us. So, although it's already complete, we try to make believe it's not complete and try to make some arrangements for feeling complete. So, while we're trying to feel complete from Krishna, separate from Krishna, of course, that's material existence, by nature, it's exploitative and selfish. Any effort for trying to make things complete when it's already complete, the effort that was required is never ending. There's never a sense of completeness ever accomplished. It's something like a big vacuum that's Krishna-shaped. Interesting language. I remember in eighth grade science, our science teacher was teaching us what a vacuum is. So he put on, you know, a big desk in the front, a bell jar, you know, really thick glass, and then he got out this vacuum pump. He hooked up the vacuum pump to the bell jar and ran the vacuum pump and pumped out all the air and then asked us what's inside. So we're supposed to say nothing. Or it's a vacuum. You take out all the solids and liquids and gas. So what's left? Well, there's space. There's Akash. There's something. It's not nothing. So our life, where we're looking for the sense of completeness, that's like a bell jar that's Krishna-shaped. That would be a nice bell jar. Krishna-shaped bell jar. But when the heart is trying to feel complete without Krishna, it's never satisfying. It's never complete. It never happens. And instead, we just do it throughout this lifetime and suffer, and then another birth and we do it again. So what are some of the different ways of struggling to become complete, manifest? We touched on some of the principles, but in our efforts to become complete, we try to make relationships of love and understanding one another and connections with others and communicate with others, and it's, it never somehow becomes complete. And we, especially Americans, you know, welcome those of you from India, you're now Americanized to some degree. We have a very strong value of independence. Not like people from India don't have a value of independence. And with this human form of life, we have our choices. And we value our choices. We value our freedoms. We value our independence. So we try in these different ways for feeling complete. And especially younger generation people, they want to feel they're being true to themselves and authentic and genuine and in integrity with myself and not just a product of society's conditioning. Or we try for a sense of completeness through recreation and having parties and some other ways of finding completeness. Or maybe a mode of goodness person by peaceful existence and appreciating nature and the beauty and the harmony of things. Or a philosopher may try to find a sense of completeness through meaning and significance. And it goes on and on and on. Now Prabhupada writes a very beautiful statement. I'll read it twice because it's so beautiful. All forms of incompleteness are experienced due to incomplete knowledge of the complete whole. Pretty profound, huh? One more time. All forms of incompleteness are experienced due to incomplete knowledge of the complete whole. That means what we need to do is have complete knowledge of the complete whole here. But knowledge requires something more than just information. Knowledge doesn't mean you got your information basket over here and now you know that the complete whole is complete. And for that matter, how are you going to have complete knowledge of something that's unlimited? Like the discussion about Lord Brahma's prayers. How is the tiny going to fathom what to speak of that unlimited source of everything as unlimited potencies? Each one of those potencies having some sub-potencies which are also unlimited. Like, it's baffling. Not going to happen. So here's a very nice statement. Prabhupada speaking on this verse, invocation verse of Ishupala, a lecture. So I'll just read. So, this is the technique of Krishna consciousness, that if you learn how to love Krishna, then you will love everything. Otherwise, your love will be localized and you'll be frustrated. It is most scientific and our process is very simple. Chant Hare Krishna. That's all. Krishna and Krishna's name, non-different. So, chanting Hare Krishna means you're associating with Krishna. That means you are directly in touch with the root of everything. So, by advancing in love for Krishna, you can love your society, your country, your community, your family, your husband, your wife, your children, your friend, everything, complete. Purnam. Purnam adak, purnam idam, purnat, purnam udachate, purnasyam, purnam adaya. And that love will never be ended. Purna. Love of Krishna is so complete that you go on distributing this love, it will never be expended. It will remain the same. 1 - 1 = 1. Different math. Don't give that in your math class. But in relation to Krishna, we should know that's the situation. Loving Krishna brings completeness. The arrangement is already there, We've just forgotten Krishna. And remembering Krishna means to love Krishna. So now, if this wasn't a morning before our 64 round day presentation, I would ask you to write, get out a piece of paper and write some things down. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to ask you, we'll go back and forth between the next two slides and ask you to think, give, 3.5 minutes to think on these topics. How do you feel most incomplete? What are the imperfections that you most sorely feel about? Then how do you try to fulfill these imperfections or needs in a material way to feel complete? And what the problems? They're created by those material arrangements. Sounds like, allopathic medicine. The reactions in the body that are produced by allopathic medicine is often worse than the disease. Not always. Oh, I'll go through the questions again, and then you take a few minutes. How do you feel most incomplete? How are the imperfections that you most sorely... What are the imperfections that you most sorely feel about? Do that for a bit. Then how do you try to fulfill these imperfections or needs in a material way to feel complete? And what are the problems caused due to this? I'm not going to ask for volunteers because of time. I'll just make a comment that these kinds of things are not just like audience participation, keep you awake and not falling asleep kind of exercises. Rather, these kinds of things, when you do them sincerely, they can help you make advancement. Because you can see, where the stumbling blocks are, or the misapplications of your energy and efforts are, where you have a tendency to be the doer instead of the devotee in material consciousness instead of in spiritual consciousness. Very helpful, very helpful. Because otherwise those patterns repeat themselves and repeat themselves and repeat themselves. And we wonder why we're not making advancement. But very helpful. You want to make advancement. Things like practical application, things like this, are very important. So we'll just go on because of time. Now there's this very nice verse from Padma Purana, actually. It's quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, as you see. Let us chant the verse together, very famous verse. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Dinatva Nama Namino. Notice there's this word Purna again. Purna Shuddho. Here's Prabhupada's translation from Chaitanya Charitamrita. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. In big letters, Krishna's name is complete. And it is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself, again in big letters, because Krishna is fully powerful. All of his potencies are there. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there's no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. And the concluding slide. We can experience completeness each and every day by taking the opportunity to connect with Krishna through his holy name deeply. Because he is the complete whole. And our completeness is to be connected with him, like the hand connected to the body, in service. And that's what the mantra is, appealing to Krishna for having us engaged in his service. I'll just end with this. I've made this presentation with other audiences, and feedback after the event was that this presentation made the greatest impact on them, in part because, like some persons said, you know, from childhood, I've always felt the sense of incompleteness, thinking that incompleteness is something circumstantial and I need to change the circumstances, and then that feeling of incompleteness can change, but it never changed. And so I tried to ignore the sense of incompleteness, but it was still there. We want that sense of completeness. It's natural. It's our healthy condition. This is the unhealthy condition. And we're being given the opportunity by the mercy of our founder, Acharya, and the disciplic line from Lord Chaitanya to make that connection. Not by material adjustment, like moving the shadow around, but the object that's casting the shadow, ourselves, and take away the misconceptions and all of that other stuff, and just connect with Krishna. It's so simple. It's for complicated people, it's too simple. We need something complicated, otherwise we're not satisfied. We're complicated, involved in the material energy people. It's so simple. And Krishna is inviting us. Take shelter. Say it in this language. Please feel complete. Please feel your completeness. Please accept this shelter. So let's see if this is a helpful meditation for you. Again, we can experience completeness each day by taking the opportunity to connect with Krishna through his holy name deeply. I'll stop, see if there's a question or two, and then we'll move on to the rest of our 64-round day. Any comments or questions someone would like to bring up? In the front up here. Raise your hand again.
Hare Krishna. Could you please share a few techniques for pronouncing the holy name during japa, or any techniques to help practically chant the holy name?
Practical tips for pronunciation? Sure. Here's a practical tip for pronunciation. You know, the precision of the Sanskrit term pronunciation is not so important. Two things. Prabhupada said, when you're calling Krishna from your heart, he'll understand you're calling him. So it's the mood from your heart that's essential, not, you know, the position of the tongue and the cavity of the mouth and so forth. It's the mood with which you're calling pronunciation that's most important. And that one's so significant, I forgot what the second one is. Pronunciation, how to pronounce. Yeah, here's the other one. If in the course of this 64 round day, you find that your mind is wandering, it's not, maybe, you know, a couple of mantras, you won't be attentive, maybe something like that. So something that will help you focus pronunciation-wise is try to hear very carefully how clearly you're pronouncing. It's a trick. It captures the mind by the process of hearing to see that you're pronouncing. Have you ever chanted next to somebody when you wonder, what's that sound that they're making? Snick, snick, rom, rom, that one. And one of the reasons is they're not hearing. So same for us. If we're finding drifty or drowsy or something, test yourself that you're pronouncing clearly. And the only way you're going to do that is by hearing. Similar, but just a different application. Supposing we have this, one of the things that we do during japa retreats is we sit in dyads, you know, groups of two, and one person chants while the other person is listening. Boy, does pronunciation get clearer. Because you know the other person is listening. Or, here's another one, similar. Practice your chanting in such a way that you're preparing to make a recording that, you know, the person guiding you in your Krishna consciousness is going to listen to. He's going to audit your pronunciation. I've done like that before, asked devotees. I don't have the time to do these kinds of things anymore, but by hearing the recordings, it's really clear when they're paying attention and when they're not paying attention, just by the sound and the pronunciation. It just gets sloppy, and their mind is drifting because the sound discloses that. So, Krishna's hearing. There may not be the dyad of the Prabhu next to you listening to your japa, but Krishna's hearing. And there's exercises. In other japa retreat we can do something like that. But you come before Krishna, and you're calling his name. Because the name and Krishna are not different, but by Krishna's hearing. Because we're going to be in front of the deities all day long. Krishna's hearing. There's lots of voices, but Krishna's hearing each of our voices. He has that capacity. You're calling Krishna. That helped your pronunciation a whole lot. Okay. Now behind you, there's... Raise your hand.
The significance of this Manavrat during Japa retreat.
I can't hear.
As per our schedule, we have a Manavrat. Manavrat?
Manavrata?
Yeah.
You want to know what that is?
I would like to know how it helps.
How it helps.
Important.
Controlling the tongue helps control the mind. The tongue likes to do stuff. Make noise. You know, even the birds do it. And, you know, all species of life, they have these things now that, like, scientists are researching, you know, talk with cows and so on. So the sound means something. So the tongue likes to make a sound, and the tongue likes to taste something. So by controlling the tongue, it helps control the mind. So you like, it's the austerity of the tongue that I don't make some sound, only the Hare Krishna mantra sound while we're chanting. And that's discipline of the mind. Because the mind has to say yes before the tongue is going to say yes or no. And on the subtle level, it happens before the gross level. So the mind just gets, I'm just going to hear the holy name. Sense control helps mind control. Prabhupada was once asked, there's this series of lectures in Los Angeles called The Perfection of Yoga. That's the series. It's Prabhupada's. Someone is reading 6th chapter Bhagavad Gita and purport. Prabhupada then interrupts and comments. It goes on like that. So at one point there's a comment about how to become determined. Prabhupada explains, if you want to increase determination, practice sense control. Make you more determined. Determined for what? Determined for what our activity is, in this case, absorption in the holy name. So the real test is, as soon as we finish class, don't do what we normally do, like begin conversation. And then you walk over to take prasadam, and you don't have conversation. You're focused on what your activity for the day is. You'll see. It helps. It's a support. It's not, you know, the answer to everything, but it's a support. The answer to everything is shelter in the holy name. Like some people have this vrata that they won't eat their first meal before they complete their chanting. I mean, some person's lifestyle doesn't permit that. That's the demands of their life. But it's a nice vrata. You control the tongue. That part of the tasting part. So anyway, it increases the determination for a particular purpose. Something else? Okay. So, Radha Shama Sundar are going to be blessing us throughout the day. And I think there's going to be some arrangement we heard from Madhupati last night. I don't know when it's going to happen. But, you know, some facility for people to come and have darshan of the deity. So when they start setting that up, we'll just, I guess, move to that side or something like that. Try to stay together. You'll be warmer if you do. New Bhadrik Ashram, Dham. And if it gets gets too cold, maybe we'll invite Sri Vrindavan to come back and have another fire in the temple room. But stay together and stay focused. Take shelter of the holy name. Some of the things that you've heard, access them. Especially be very attentive to hearing. This may help you. One devotee wrote to me some time ago, I really enjoy hearing my 16 rounds every day. I shared that with Badahari, and his whole body shook. Wow. He said, his comment was, I've had so many experiences where we're chanting japa next to somebody, and I wonder if they're hearing anything, because the vibration is not at all the Maha Mantra. But if you're hearing, then it'll help you say the right mantra with proper absorption. So hear your 64 rounds very carefully. Good luck to all of you. May you have a fantastic journey. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.